I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yes, sir. My voice is back. I feel so damn good. I can't even tell you, John.
Yay.
I've been on a cough syrup bender for the last 3 days. I've been taking every medicine known to man. I've been sitting there wondering if I'm ever going to get better. Amidst all of this, I had to watch the Houston Texans lay an egg on Sunday in Baltimore, 41-7. It was driving me crazy. Reaction Monday, always intense. It was even more intense yesterday. But I'll be damned if the OG John Lopez and his old school ways, Mr. Throw Some Dirt on It, told me to rub some Vicks Vapor Rub all over my body, and I'll be damned if I didn't wake up this morning feeling like a million bucks, John
Lopez.
I'm telling
you, man. I'm telling you, it works.
My gosh.
I could have told you what my mom used to do, too, and we may get to this later. She used to pull pecan tree bark off of a tree.
Okay, let me tell you something.
And turn and cook it and make it tea, and it worked.
Can I say something? Mm-hmm. A different version of what Figgy usually says?
Mm-hmm.
That is some Mexican stuff right there, John Lopez.
Pecan bark tea. Pecan bark tea. Don't
now
knock
it
until you try
it.
Hey, you were criticizing the Vicks Vapor Rub on your chest. You were criticizing it, and now you're a new man.
I feel so good right now. I tell you what, man. I feel so good. It's great to be with you. It is a Tuesday. It is on to Indianapolis. Maybe that helps as well, because we don't have as much time to sit here and grieve about the Texans' pathetic showing on Sunday, which is exactly what it was. We got John McClain coming in at 10:40.
What are we going to talk with him about?
I texted him last night and I said, John, there's a lot to talk about. What would you like to get into? What do you want to bring to the show on tomorrow? Because you're the man. You're the NFL Hall of Famer. We want to hear from you. I'm sure there's so much on your mind. What do you want to get into? And I got a text this morning from John McClain.
Oh, good, good. So he got it all taken care of.
It was about 11 hours after I sent the text, but I'm not timing it.
Yeah.
And you know what he said?
Yeah.
The usual.
All right.
I don't know what that means, but we'll get into the usual.
I almost
John
had
McClain
to take over this show yesterday.
You did?
Yeah, but I was just going to turn it into a Bite Me podcast. The last hour was just going to be about slow sinking baits like Corky's.
Well, you know what? With the success the Bite Me podcast has had,
this
might have been an upgrade. Scott Noll might have been in my chair before we knew it.
Ratings would have skyrocketed,
you know,
higher than they are.
I mean, that's why I had to gut it out, because I didn't want to be Wally Pipped by Scott Noll. I did an in-depth breakdown of the first four meetings between Bill O'Brien and Frank Reich.
Mm-hmm.
In-depth. It's going to be a fun trip down memory lane. That's what we're going to do with John McClain. We're also going to ask him his biggest takeaways from the Baltimore Ravens game. It looks like T.Y. Hilton might be on the field after all. Some people said, I should have seen this coming. I apologize in advance for that, but it is a big week. But as we approach the final six games of the Texans season, after watching Monday Night Football last night in Mexico, I've got to say this, John. There's something that we have to stop doing around these parts if we really are hoping that the Texans can take that next step and go from good to great.
I think I know where you're going with this, and I completely endorse it.
So yesterday, the Kansas City Chiefs, they topped the Chargers on Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
They beat them by 7. And after the game, a graphic comes on ESPN. A Scott Van Pelt's up there doing SportsCenter, and it's talking about Philip Rivers and just his career of heartbreak. This is the stat. Could I interest you in a stat about Philip Rivers?
Please.
Philip Rivers last night lost his 61st career game by 7 points or fewer. That is the most of the Super Bowl era, two more than Vinny Testaverde. When I say that, what is the first thing that comes to mind? What's the first emotion that you think of when I tell you that Philip Rivers in his career has lost 61 career games by 7 points or less?
It tells me that he's really, really good. He's really, really competitive. He really stays in games because of his talent, but doesn't get it done. for a number of reasons. Maybe none of them, or very few of which, are his own doing.
For the last couple years, and specifically for the last couple days, after the Texans got their ass kicked in Baltimore, I've had to hear about how Deshaun Watson doesn't lose games by double by two possessions. Since high school, Deshaun Watson hasn't lost a game by two possessions. By the way, they did lose a playoff game last year by two possessions, but I guess that doesn't count. I keep having to hear that as if that is supposed to make me feel better about what happened against the Baltimore Ravens.
Right.
And we've got to quit glorifying losing around these here parts. Don't take my word for it. Because, you know, I'm just the radio guy that talks with the OG John Lopez from 10 to 2. I'm just a guy that, you know, turns on the mic and I just fire off these hot takes.
You're just a guy standing in front of a microphone telling it that you love it.
But let's go. Shut up, Lopez. Let's go to the head coach himself. This is probably the most epic speech Bill O'Brien's ever given. If the Texans ever overcome the obstacles that they've been unable to overcome with Bill O'Brien, this speech will probably play in the montage. This was Bill O'Brien during Hard Knocks talking about a reputation that he wanted to escape.
It's a critical time in camp. Do we want to continue to be the almost team? We almost made the tackle. We almost made the catch. We almost made that interception. We almost got the sack. We almost made the playoffs. Almost.
Let's not glorify almost, especially when it comes to Deshaun Watson. We all think that bigger and better things are coming because of number four. So let's not glorify that, because I don't want a few years from now or a decade and a half from now us to look back and talk about how Deshaun Watson lost 62 games by 7 points or fewer. Now, let's get rid of this.
Now, let's be fair about something. He's arguing against that on his Hard Knocks tirade. You know, he's saying don't be the almost.
This is a message to media types.
Right.
And media types and fans alone. This ain't a message to Bill O'Brien.
Exactly.
Bill O'Brien has the right idea here.
Exactly.
So, Bill O'Brien, you know, a lot of times when he deserves to be criticized, he gets criticized on this show. And a lot of times he's clashed with the media. We'll hear some of those when we go back in time with the matchups between Bill O'Brien and Frank Reich. But in this situation, I am begging media types and fans to be like Bill O'Brien. I don't want to hear this statistic about Deshaun Watson losing games by one possession or less, because I've watched Philip Rivers do it for so damn long, and I could not imagine being a Chargers fan and having to watch it.
Yeah, so I want to make that clear. On the other hand, he's on a tirade against accepting being the almost team. On the other hand, that was 4 years ago, and they continue to be the almost team. So maybe that's what he has. I mean, that's just what it is. And regarding fans and media types, as you just said, you can't on the one hand say you are what the record says you are, and at the same time say, man, look how close Deshaun Watson's gone. He's only lost one game outside of the playoffs, you know, by more than one touchdown. Those don't coincide, you know. Those don't go together. So it's either one or the other.
I'll tell you what, man. Philip Rivers yesterday, there were a lot of tweets and there's a lot of jokes, but it does seem like over the course of the career of Philip Rivers, no matter what the situation is, they could be down 96-0 in the first quarter. You can take a nap. And I credit Zach Jackson out there with The Athletic out there in Cleveland. You could take a nap and you could wake up an hour and a half later.
He'll be in the game.
And it's going to be 96-91 with Philip Rivers with a chance to win it late.
Yeah, no.
I don't want to feel that way, John.
He's that good.
I don't want to feel that way, John.
No, Philip Rivers is. Remember when the Texans played the Chargers this year?
I do.
Do you remember what my big pregame point was on that game? I said the Chargers and Philip Rivers were a cautionary tale. I use that exact term. That's a cautionary tale. You don't want Deshaun Watson to become that older quarterback that has never been to never won a Super Bowl, and always plays the close games that doesn't quite get there. That's what he is to this point. It's early. I think it's going to change. Philip Rivers thought it was going to change, but Philip Rivers and the Chargers, again, are the cautionary tale for the Texans and Deshaun Watson, 100%.
And I just don't want it to happen. Let's quit glorifying losing. It's about wins. Let's up the standards. Let's follow the lead of head coach Bill O'Brien. That's a message to media types and fans alone. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. When we left the air yesterday, breaking news hit that it looks like T.Y. Hilton might play this week against the Houston Texans. When he was originally diagnosed with his injury, it looked like it was going to be maybe not improbable, but unlikely that he would be on the field against the Texans. But I'll be dang if Frank Reich doesn't come out yesterday and say that we could see Hilton on Thursday.
Well, I mean, certainly in his career, he's proven that he doesn't need to practice, but that's never the optimal situation.
Yeah.
That's never the optimal situation, but he's logged enough miles, as they say, and he's enough of a pro and really smart player that he's proven to be a rare exception in that standpoint.
I should have known, dude. I should have known. He has labeled NRG his house. Jonathan Joseph's called him a clown. T.Y. Hilton showed up in a clown mask, did his work early, ended the Texans season last year, scored a touchdown earlier this year, record-setting performances against the Texans, 199 yards last year. We'll revisit that with John McClain. I should have known that even if T.Y. Hilton tore his ACL last week, that he would be on the field against the Houston Texans. I should have known. I apologize to all the loopholes and all the listeners in advance.
He also is one of those guys that when he gets an injury, it's inevitable that he's going to try to come back on the field. Now maybe it's drama, maybe he's just tough. I don't know, but he's going to I would have to bet that he's playing, and I would have to bet
I should have known
that he's going to do something to damage the Texans' hopes at minimum.
I should have known. By the way, man, I got to do something before we hit the ground running in this show. I got to give a shout out to someone who really deserves it. And I think we take him for granted.
Okay.
I think a lot of times when you get used to something, you take things for granted. James Harden. I mean, my goodness, James Harden. It's almost just clockwork. James Harden going for 40. I know the Rockets haven't won a championship. I know that James Harden's probably the most polarizing figure in the NBA, but we're lucky to have him playing in this city. 36 points yesterday, which, by the way, drops his points per game average this year to 39.2.
Come on, pick it up, man.
He has more points scored than minutes played in each of his last nine games.
Yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it?
That's very good. It's the longest such streak since the ABA-NBA merger. Just to show you how good that is, the Rockets, they're now 11-3. They're in Denver on Wednesday night. So I know we take it for granted, but just got to give a salute to James Harden
Westbrook
and the Houston Rockets.
Too now. Played a slightly different game than he has been.
A little different. Triple-double, though.
Yeah.
Triple-double. Do they like those now? Is that okay to do that now in Houston?
Rockets fans like triple-doubles now? Did he throw the ball up against the backboard and grab a rebound at the end?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think it was a legit triple-double. Shout out to James Harden here on a Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. Let's take a look into how much things have turned for the worse for the Houston Texans heading into this game against Indianapolis. The OG has some facts and some data that is pretty alarming heading into this game against Frank Reich and the Colts. Can they turn these numbers around? We'll discuss next. Is the Texans stock falling? Numbers say so. The OG John Lopez has some numbers to show just how much of a week-to-week league the Texans play in heading into Thursday night's game against the Indianapolis Colts. OG, you sent these numbers last night.
Mm-hmm.
I was fascinated by them. Lay them on me.
All right. So these are the numbers in for the Houston Texans. Obviously, they didn't play well against the Ravens. You're talking about the numbers for T.Y. Hilton or for the Texans?
For the Texans. For the Texans, their percentages of making the playoffs, all that type of stuff.
All right. I had the other ones called up, but here we go.
Don't pull back the curtain too much, OG.
Yeah, I will. I don't see it now. I lost it. My bad.
It's right in front of you.
You got them?
Yeah, it's like on the sheet that I printed out for you, sir.
Oh, but there you go. The AFC stock?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you said numbers, and I didn't know. Okay, but the Houston Texans have gone from a 15-1 favorite to win the Super Bowl to today, 40-1, they're favored to win the Super Bowl. So they've gone from that to 40-1. They clearly, this was from a report on the Houston Texans, AFC stock up, AFC stock down. This is what was talked about with the Texans. I mean, no team has fallen further faster than the Houston Texans in 1 week. What does it mean? Maybe it's just you know, an abrupt knee-jerk reaction. But this is what it said. Not only did the Texans look awful against the Ravens, but they got physically dominated in the game. This was the biggest issue in the Texans' loss. Teams are going to lose stinker games, but they lost the battle in the trenches. The Ravens' pass rush has not been elite this season, but it was Sunday. Then it was asked this question. Are the Texans soft? Now, that's a little bit harsh, but they certainly were handled big time against the Ravens on both lines of
scrimmage. Are the Texans soft? That's what people are saying now?
That's what one writer said. Are the Texans soft in the trenches?
Well, I think that question, I think that the writer probably does a lot of research to ask such question, but I will say there's some good news about that claim.
Mm-hmm.
If they are soft, we'll see it this Thursday. Because there's not a more physical opponent
on
that the Texans could possibly face than the Indianapolis Colts. Frank Reich has made it very clear. He wants his team to be physical. He wants them to run the ball. He wants to run play action. And he wants to physically beat you up on the defensive side of the ball. So if the Texans are soft, and a lot of writers are saying, or according to you, there's writers that are questioning that,
mm-hmm.
I think we'll find out this Thursday. And this is the right opponent to find out if they are soft or not.
Well, and the defensive line in particular, which has just been dominant against the run all year long until they gave up 263 yards against the Ravens. And remarkably, you know, Lamar Jackson did not go over 100 yards. It was just across the board they were dominated. Well, this is the game that they have to respond because even without Marlon Mack, and they're not going to have Marlon Mack, it's not as if they're not going to run the ball. The Colts are going to still continue, and Frank Reich was talking about it yesterday on his conference call. They're going to continue to try to pound the ball.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because Marlon Mack, he goes out of their last game, their dominant win over Jacksonville, by the way, a very impressive win with over 100 yards. He has a fractured hand, but the guy who comes in for him, a man by the name of Jonathan Williams, can't say I'm too familiar with his work,
mm-hmm.
but he had 13 carries for 116 yards. All 116 yards that he's ran for this year came right there just like that. He's out of Arkansas. He's 6 foot, 217 pounds. Also had a 31 yards reception. So you mm-hmm. talk about next man up. Marlon Mack, a guy who torched the Texans last year in the playoffs. He fractures his hand. Boom. Here, get in there, Williams. Next thing you know, Williams behind this offensive line against a Jacksonville defense that's mm-hmm. not too shabby.
No, look at their defensive front.
Runs for 116 yards. Mm-hmm. By the way, he has one more yard on the season. So I said that it was all 116 yards. He has 117 yards rushing on the season. They're still going to run the ball. We're going to get to know Jonathan Williams very, very well this week.
Mm-hmm.
We already know T.Y. Hilton, though. And it looked like at a point, T.Y. Hilton wasn't going to be out there. T.Y. Hilton was not going to be on the field for the Colts. But now it looks like it's trending in the direction that T.Y. Hilton could be on the field at the place that he calls his house.
Well, he did, and then he made it his house.
We'll hear him say that in about 20 minutes with John McClain when we go in depth in the first four meetings mm-hmm. between Bill O'Brien and Frank Reich.
I think right now T.Y. Hilton is probably a go for even though they keep calling it what is he now questionable for Thursday night. I think he's going to be a go. But the bigger point, and we're going to talk to McClain about this as well, is just what they can establish running the ball first, because that's what's going to open up, whether it's T.Y. Hilton or any of the tight ends or whatever it may be.
This just has to be a win for the Texans, though, man. I mean, it just seems pretty well shaped.
I think
up.
John McClain called it a must win. He used that word that
which I like, and it's two words, sir.
Well, that term
grammar yeah, Nazi.
he's called it a must win. We'll ask him about that as well. If you're saying like the Texans will not make the playoffs if they lose on Thursday.
See, I don't know about that.
Then it's a must win.
Well, it's going to be difficult. And I think the team that I think you should be most threatened by if the Texans do lose this is the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Titans will be tied with you in the or they'll be a game behind you in the loss column. And they'll have two head-to-head meetings with the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
So if you do lose this, the Titans basically in control of their own destiny.
With momentum,
coming off the bye week. That didn't work for the Texans, but we'll see what happens with the Titans.
Because the other part is, you know, you lose back-to-back games against the Ravens and then the Colts. Momentum, you know, is really starting to dwindle and confidence starting to dwindle in that locker room. Now, Sean Pendergast had a great stat this morning, and I don't know if I'm quoting it directly, so I won't even try, but Basically, in games after they lost by double digits, the Texans respond very nicely. The Texans have traditionally, under Bill O'Brien, come back to either win or at least, I think their winning record is like 9-1 or something like that. And I'm butchering his stat, but no, they should be able to respond in this game, especially at home on a short week. But if they don't, it might be a must-win in terms of playoffs.
But the question is, how many of those were against Frank Reich?
Right.
Because if you look at Frank Reich, and it's early, it's less than two seasons. Frank Reich right now against Bill O'Brien, 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
3-1, and the only loss was very controversial. He could have easily accepted a tie. Frank Reich probably should be unbeaten against Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
And we're going to get more in-depth in that in just a second. I'm actually looking forward to that. Also want to see how Deshaun Watson bounces back because he's had some success against the Colts, but he's also been the starter for Bill O'Brien in all these games. And we've seen the Colts get to Deshaun Watson, make him uncomfortable, and they're more healthy on defense than they were the first time these teams met earlier this year.
Let me ask you this, because it ties
ask me
in,
anything,
it
man.
It ties in with
such a good day to
with,
be alive.
It ties in with Frank Reich being such a good coach. The Texans against the run. Just against the run. Forget pass pressure, okay? Against the run versus Jacksonville in London, did not miss J.J. Watt. They continued to be dominant against the run against Jacksonville, right?
Yes, they are.
But
yes,
they also were. Did this. They also put on tape. This goes back to, you know, just how much the Texans have fallen, according to that one writer. They also put on tape how they're going to play against the run without J.J. Watt. So what happens the following game, 2 weeks later, with time to scout? The Ravens knew exactly what the Texans' approach was versus the run and gashed them for 263 yards. So Frank Reich has now seen both tapes. You know, he's seen the Jacksonville game without J.J. and Frank Reich and his defensive coordinator, let's be honest here. The non-J.J. game against Jacksonville, the non-J.J. game against the Ravens, against the Rush, he knows exactly what the Texans are doing now. What would you expect?
I'll just tell you what I would expect. Mm-hmm. I expect Frank Reich to be on top of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's won games with Andrew Luck. He's won games without Andrew Luck. Mm-hmm. He's won games when the Texans had Clowney and Watt. He's won games when they didn't have Clowney.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, until proven otherwise, I'll just assume that regardless who's on the field, Frank Reich's going to be ready to show out against the Texans head coach, which brings us to our next segment, which I'm looking very, very forward to. NFL Hall of Famer John McClain is going to join us. We're going to go in depth into the first four meetings between Frank Reich's Colts and Bill O'Brien's Texans. There's a lot of storylines, a lot of emotions that we're going to reopen along the way. We got good Clowney, bad Clowney. We got the decision. We got clown masks. We got controversial calls, controversial decisions, the end of seasons. Bill O'Brien getting snippy with members of the Sports Radio 610 media. There's so much to get into. We're going to dive into it like only we can next. NFL Hall of Famer John McClain in the building. This Thursday, Texans versus Colts. The first place Indianapolis Colts coming to town. It'll be the fifth time that Frank Reich and Bill O'Brien have met on the football field. Frank Reich's won three of the last four. Let's go in-depth with NFL Hall of Famer John McClain. A trip down memory lane to the first four meetings between Bill O'Brien and Frank Reich. And we start on Sunday, September 30th, the 0-3 Texans. This was during the 2018 season. The 0-3 Texans versus the 1-2 Indianapolis Colts. Texans led early 28-10. They also took that lead into the third quarter and appeared to be en route to their first win of the season. However, the Colts rallied back. They forced overtime. The game appeared to be headed toward being tied when the Colts had the ball 4th-and-4 near midfield, but Reich decided to go for it.
4th-and-4, Colts from their 43, Luck, shotgun. Here's the snap. Luck looking, Luck firing right side, and Jonathan Joseph says it's incomplete, it is.
What were your thoughts when Frank Reich decided to go for that, John McClain?
Terrible coaching call. I thought it then, I think it now. He blew that game for the Colts.
He not only did he blew it in the worst type of way, because Deshaun Watson finds DeAndre Hopkins for 26 yards, Kyahmi Fairbairn
looking for the Texans' first win of the season, and he got it.
Fairbairn for the win. 37-yard field goal, right hash mark. Weeks with the snap. It's down. Daniel with the hold. Fairbairn's kick is up, and it's good! And the Texans win it overtime!
Fairbairn actually making a field goal.
Whoa, we're going to get to shots fired at Fairbairn.
I found the kicker, by the way. I found the kicker that can replace Kaimi Fairbairn.
I'm intrigued by that. But your reaction to really the only win that Bill O'Brien's had against Frank Reich, you thought Frank Reich made a boneheaded decision there.
Well, he did. Everybody did. And it could have haunted him later. There was something about it. He'd taken a tie. If he had taken the tie, they would have won the division. And but anyway, he blew it, and then he won the next three.
Well, I mean, so many teams are into the analytics now, like heavy, heavy, heavy into the analytics. I'm sure that played a factor as well. I agree with you. Don't get me wrong. I thought it was a bad call. But if not for that, I mean, all of a sudden the Colts and Frank Reich would be dominant against Bill O'Brien.
Well, still, they lost, and he blew it.
Jadeveon Clowney, by the way, two sacks, four TFLs in that game, and a fumble recovery in the win. That's the good Clowney. We'll hear from the bad Clowney very shortly. Meeting number two, Sunday, December 9th, 2018. Texans came into the game on a nine-game winning streak, started by their first win against the Colts that we just heard about. They took an early 7-0 lead on an Alfred Blue touchdown. Don't you miss Alfred Blue, John McClain. But it was all Colts after that. Colts outscored the Texans 17-0 in the second. Texans score with under 3 minutes left to cut the lead to 24-21. 2 minutes remaining. Colts looking to milk the clock. Third and one. We heard about good Clowney and meeting numero uno. Meeting numero dos, bad Clowney.
Third down and one for the Colts at their 48. Luck under center. One back, Marlon Mack. Luck, long count, trying to get the Texans to jump off. Luck under center, and Clowney jumped. That's a first down, and the game's going to be over if it's a penalty against Jadeveon Clowney.
Neutral zone infraction.
Yep.
Defense number 90.
Colts win 24-21. Clowney didn't meet with the media after that one, did he, John?
Nope, because he knew he had done bad.
T.Y. Hilton, by the way.
Yeah, that was a buck 99.
Did he have a good game? 199 yards receiving.
7 games here, he has 7 touchdowns.
I'm going to read you the first few lines of the AP story from that game in regards to T.Y. Hilton, because he was apparently hobbled, much like he is heading into this matchup. Indianapolis receiver T.Y. Hilton missed multiple practices with a shoulder injury in the week leading up to Sunday's trip to NRG Stadium for a critical AFC South matchup. The Colts said his status was up in the air. Hilton knew he couldn't possibly miss a game at a place where he's had more success than any receiver since the stadium opened in 2002. Who's even in this same conversation as T.Y. Hilton as far as Texans killers, John?
Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, undefeated.
He is undefeated.
4-0. No interceptions in 4 games.
I don't know if you're making me feel much better about this matchup, but we digress. My favorite moment from this game, the second meeting between Bill O'Brien and Frank Reich, a back and forth with our own Jeremy Branham. Apparently the Boo Birds were out at NRG. They were booing late. In the first half, Jeremy Branham asked Bill O'Brien about it, and you know what happened.
Bill, what did you think of the crowd booing with about 4.5 minutes left to play?
What's that?
What did you think about the crowd booing after a play call with about 4.5 minutes left to play?
Nothing. I'm so focused on calling the game. I'm not thinking about the crowd. You know, I love the Houston fans, but I'm trying to do as good a job as I can for the team, which wasn't good enough today. Bill, is that the best question? I mean, we got to have better questions than that.
A little salty there, John. A little salty.
I've heard that before.
Meeting number three. This was a playoff game. Saturday, January 5th, the NFL divisional round. There was a war of words leading up to this one. Jonathan Joseph responded to T.Y. Hilton saying that NRG was his house. This is what the veteran corner for your Houston Texans had to say about T.Y. Hilton's claim.
What do you think of T.Y. Hilton calling NRG Stadium his second home?
Sounds good. You know, it's easy to say it. You know, I can easily say that too. Or we can call this division our division since I've been here. Last 5 out of 8 years, however y'all want to draw it up. Nah, that's for clowns, man. That's for TV. That's what they do. You put something in their face, anybody can see it.
Hilton showed up wearing a clown mask, and the Colts completely clowned the Texans. Pure dominance by the Colts. They scored the first 21 points of the game. They win 21-7. They take 2 of 3 from the Texans. And in their season, Marlon Mack with 148 yards on the ground for Indy.
Hilton set the tone early, but he finishes with just five catches for 85 yards. Here's T.Y. Hilton's response to Jonathan Joseph and why he decided to wear a clown mask to the game.
I got a lot of messages last night of what he said. I said, you know what? Let's have fun with it. So it's something I did. I wanted to have fun with it. But, it's over.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain, your biggest takeaway from the way the season ended last year for the Texans?
That was the worst offensive game Deshaun Watson and the Texans had until this game against Baltimore.
Here was Bill O'Brien on Frank Reich ending his season and taking two of three the first year they matched up.
Frank did a good job and had his team ready to go, and they converted some third downs, you know. And, you know, before you know it, you know, we were down 14-0. We missed the third down, you know. And so it was give the Colts credit all the way around. They did a better job than we did today, obviously.
Meeting number four, October 20th, earlier this year in Indianapolis. The story of this game was the Texans' inability to find the end zone in the first half. Some of it their own doing, but also they kind of got screwed by the Zebras.
On third and goal at the four, Deshaun gets the snap, looking, pressure on. Watson trying to escape, and he can't barely do it. He throws to the end zone. He hits Hopkins. How did he stay upright? And now the ball comes out, but they rule it a touchdown. Oh, my goodness. Watson.
Rolling on the field, the quarterback was under pressure in the grass. He was sacked. Fourth down.
In the grass.
I haven't seen
that call
any other time this year.
Yep.
That was a bad call, right?
Yeah, but he told Watson, I'm trying to help protect you.
But he still took a lick. Still took a lick from Darius Leonard.
But they have, to be fair, they have allowed Watson to, since then, a couple of times.
Oh, yeah. It's like they told him, let this kid go, until he goes down. Mm-hmm.
Texans trailed 14-9 at the half. Sloppy football by the Texans in the second half. You had penalties and unnecessary roughness on Bernardrick McKinney, Eric Ebron. One-handed grab in the back of the end zone. Texans made a decision at the end of the game to take a safety. Probably could have been a little bit more crisp by Bill O'Brien. Here's Bill O'Brien when asked by John McClain about that decision on why he decided to do it.
I felt like that was a good decision. Put us down seven with some time, and then he made a really nice punt that we covered really well on the kickoff after the safety. And then we were able to get the ball back with using our timeouts properly to get the ball back with, I think, 1:54 to go, which gave us, you know, plenty of time. And we just didn't get it done there at the end.
So the Texans lose. Bill O'Brien falls to 1-3 against Frank Reich, which brings us to two nights from tonight, from today, John McClain, Texans versus Colts. Tell Texans fans why they should feel good about this meeting and why they should feel bad about the fifth meeting between B.O.B. and Frank Reich.
I don't think it's got anything to do with Frank Reich. I think it has to do with the way they just got murdered. I thought they were beyond that. I thought Deshaun Watson was beyond that. Having a performance
You're talking
like
about the Ravens
that,
game.
Right, where you're just utterly pathetic after the first quarter. And this offense, for whatever reason, maybe O'Brien needs to let Tim Kelly call the plays in the first quarter or script the plays in the first quarter. Because this offense is horrendous in the first quarter. It was again, but the defense was really good in the first quarter. Now this one, if they lose to fall one game behind the Colts in the one loss category plus the sweep, which is a two game lead, they can basically ride off the division, and then they're competing with a bunch of teams for wild cards. So DeAndre Hopkins called this a must win. I wrote that today.
Yeah, I mistakenly said you said it. It was DeAndre. You were quoting DeAndre. You could see where I could confuse the two of you.
Yeah, and
you have that flower jacket.
Well, we dress alike.
Yeah,
and our hair is alike, and they can't lose this game. They can't, and I'm not sure Hilton's going to play. He's missed two games in a row. Pierre Desir's missed four games in a row. I think Rock Ya-Sin is going to be out. They got a lot of injuries. Texans got a lot of injuries, but they cannot lose this game. They have to win it. They go up one. They got the Patriots coming in right after that. So this, Hopkins is right. He said everybody on that team knows that this is a must-win Thursday.
Now, you were talking about when Landry asked you earlier, have you ever seen anybody dominate the Texans like that? Jacoby Brissett is what you said. That's in four games. T.Y. Hilton has played the equivalent of a 16-game schedule against the Texans. He's caught 87 passes for 1,604 yards and 10 touchdowns.
Good Lord.
That's
my gosh. Say that again.
87 catches, 1,604 yards, and 10 touchdowns in 16 games against the Texans.
The 1,604 yards on 87 catches, that's what stands out because that's a big average per catch.
Well, I did a little more digging on this.
My goodness.
On third down, just on third down, he's caught 10 touchdowns for 82 catches. No, excuse me. That's the complete.
Lopez down, struggling with the stats today.
No, third down, he's caught 6 touchdowns, and he's caught 47 balls against the Texans on third down.
You'd think by now that they'd know how to defend him. I think they do. They just don't have the guys who can cover him.
Mm-hmm.
They could be without Bradley Roby again, Lonnie Johnson Jr. I'm doubt he'll play. And so they got their hands full. And it'd benefit them if the Colts did run the ball a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That way they wouldn't have to throw it less. Now, he's been fortunate to have Andrew Luck throwing a lot of those passes. And Brissett has not dominated them. You know, he didn't do much in the New England game. He beat the terrible injury-plagued team twice. This year he dominated them. 4 touchdowns, highest rating of his career.
Player of the week.
Embarrassed them. And they got to do something about that, and they got to go about it fast. And first thing they have to do is stop the run.
Outside of Peyton Manning, has anyone had a career like that? I know you mentioned Brissett, like, but Hilton, that's just 4 games, yeah.
Boy, it'd have to be somebody from the division.
I've been thinking. I can't.
There wasn't a running back. You know, I'm not sure about Reggie Wayne or Marvin Harrison, but they didn't have Hilton's numbers. Nobody from Titans has consistently done that to them or Jacksonville.
For that long, yeah.
Or Jacksonville.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Do you expect them to play?
I have no idea, but usually if you miss a bunch of games and you all of a sudden you're supposed to be ready on a short week, most time guys aren't. But he does. He calls it his home away from home. And, you know, everybody likes to go home.
This is true.
Was Frank Reich deserve consideration for being coach of the year?
No, not this year.
Why not?
Because there's other guys doing better jobs.
Who?
Matt LaFleur, for one. Kyle Shanahan's another one. I think Pete Carroll's doing a tremendous job.
Only reason I ask is because, I mean,
Colts are 6-4. They've gotten beat by Miami. They got beat by somebody else at home. So, no.
Yeah, it just seems
not
like,
at this point. He might by the end, depending on how they finish.
I just think it's impressive that he's in first place right now. His quarterback retires a couple weeks before the season. They've had so many injuries there. And he just still, it just still seems like the identity of that football team is still in place in comparison to last year. I just feel like if a lot of coaches had to deal with what he's dealt with, it would be hard to imagine them being in first place.
A lot of teams have injuries. And I've not seen him mentioned anywhere in Coach of the Year talk.
Interesting. That's why I need a vote. Just kidding. Who would you vote for right now, LaFleur?
LaFleur, considering where they started and everybody thought they were going to be, you know, mediocre and he wasn't going to be able to get along with Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't pick them to make the playoffs. I didn't pick the 49ers to make the playoffs. So I would have to say at 9-1, although the 49ers schedule is brutal.
Yeah, that
the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, it is brutal. And in the last games at Seattle. But right now, if I had to vote, I'd say Kyle Shanahan.
Okay, there you go. Shout out to
Vrabel.
Kyle Shanahan
might get in there at some point, huh?
Yeah, they're 5-5. Right when everybody gets fired up about them, they lose. And when they think they're going to lose, they win. Everybody thinks they're going to beat Jacksonville, they'll probably lose. It's maddening for their fans up there because every time they get pumped up, they're bad. Now, maybe with Tannehill, it's going to be different than it was with Mariota, but they need to beat the Jaguars. And they're coming off that big win over Kansas City. So if they win 2 in a row, people are going to start to take notice.
What about Tomlin?
No, not with Rudolph. They're 5-5. They're not very good at all.
I just feel like, you know, given the same circumstances as Frank Reich, he's been kind of dealt a weird hand, you know, and he's been able to keep them afloat in the hunt.
Well, he's one game better than Tomlin.
No, I'm talking about Tomlin.
Oh, you know, Tomlin is coach of the year?
Yeah.
No.
Who's on first? No. The OG John Lopez, John McClain, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Let's get into this Baltimore game. We looked ahead to Indianapolis. We knew it was coming. John McClain called it a pathetic performance.
I call it rotten, wretched, every negative thing I could come up with.
Well, let's get rotten and ratchet next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.